It's November the 15th, day one of a new era in television news.
I'm Shirley Ghosh.
And I'm Sami Zeidan. This is Al Jazeera.
When the Arab TV network Al Jazeera recently launched its English language service, lots of Americans were alarmed at the prospect of anti-American propaganda pouring into their homes. And when Josh Rushing's family heard that Josh had signed on to become an Al Jazeera correspondent, well, they were appalled. After all, Rushing had spent 14 years as a U.S. Marine. What's more, during the U.S. invasion of Iraq, Rushing was the spokesman for U.S. Central Command to the entire Arab world. He was the guy representing the American military to tens of millions of Arabs and Muslims. So how could Josh Rushing turn around and join this foreign network? That's the subject of Rushing's new book, Mission Al Jazeera.
When I first came across Al Jazeera, I probably knew the same thing that most Americans knew, that it has something to do with Al-Qaeda, that they show beheadings, that it was anti-American. And I have to admit, all my opinions were based on having never seen the network, having not watched a single minute of it. So when I encountered it firsthand, you know, and I'm not some lefty from Berkeley. I Lone Star, Texas. My mom's on the city council. Dad's a fireman. Family believes in civic service. I've been a Marine my entire adult life. When I encountered Al Jazeera firsthand in their studios, I couldn't help but realize what I thought I knew about it was wrong. The way America was dealing with it was dangerous for America's own strategic interest.
Now, did you really find that out right away? Because you were a Marine. You were a spokesman for the Marines. You were there to explain to the world the American purpose in being there. Not exactly the kind of position where understanding Al Jazeera would have been the first priority.
You know, Central Command Forward, where I was in Doha, Qatar. Well, that also happens to be where Al Jazeera is headquartered. So while I would go on other networks, everything from Fox News to Xinhua in China, Al Jazeera was the only network in the world. I could literally go over inside their studios rather than doing a satellite hit just in front of a camera aboard the base. So it was the only network that I really did get a firsthand view at how the network operated from the inside. And, you know, just even on the drive over to Al Jazeera, I was kind of scratching my head thinking, this is supposed to be some kind of terrorist organization, and yet it's funded by the government of Qatar, which also supports the base that I'm stationed on. Something isn't adding up here.
And how did you end up being the Marine who was responsible for Al Jazeera?
Yeah, you would think like it would be some huge strategic decision that they made long before they dropped the first bomb in shock and awe, that someone at the Pentagon would have said, who's our Al Jazeera guy? Who's going to be the face of America on Al Jazeera? That's what you would think happened. What actually happened was I wanted to learn Arabic. No one on this base I was at spoke Arabic until the Al Jazeera engineers came to set up their office at the media center. So I would simply go by in the morning and ask them to teach me a phrase in Arabic, and they would. And I would go back at lunch when they would have the best catering around, and this way trying to just pick up a little conversational Arabic. Well, there came a point where there were only a handful of spokespeople, and there were hundreds of reporters and producers, and we were worried about requests falling through the cracks. So we decided each network would have a point person. And I got ABC, the European Broadcasting Union, Xinhua. And then my boss said, hey, Rushing, you got a pretty good relationship with those Arab guys. Why don't you take Al Jazeera? And by taking Al Jazeera, because it was so large compared to the rest of the Arab media, it also meant, and the rest of the Arab media as well.
So I guess that helps to explain how a relatively junior Marine communications officer could end up representing the United States to the Arab world.
Yeah, absolutely. I was the junior spokesperson there with no expertise in the region. I'd read Iraq for Dummies on the plane ride over. I didn't know the language. The language I'd learned from Al Jazeera, and it would get me through, you know, hi, how are you, and can I try some of the hummus, but not much further. And this was our face to the region during the invasion of Iraq. I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
Why does Al Jazeera have such a bad rep in the world outside? I mean, your personal experience of it seemed to be fairly positive fairly early on.
No authority likes Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera's unspoken motto is to give a voice to the underdog, to speak truth to power. No one in power necessarily appreciates that. So It's not an anomaly that the U.S. government doesn't like Al Jazeera. Neither do most Middle Eastern governments. Neither does Al-Qaeda. Anyone with authority is probably going to get a hard time from Al Jazeera, so they don't appreciate that. Well, the government here in the U.S. has put out a lot of misinformation about Al Jazeera that just flat is not true. The most stunning example is Secretary Rumsfeld said a number of times in the press that Al Jazeera shows beheadings. Al Jazeera has never shown a beheading. Al Jazeera will never show a beheading. But he said it so many times in the press that it's become an urban myth in America that they do.
How long were you at CENTCOM?
I was at Central Command from January through July of 2003.
What does that mean to the command then when you leave the Marine Corps to join Al Jazeera English?
It is the great irony that I receive far more respect from the military now that I'm with Al Jazeera than I ever did as a junior officer. I'm asked to frequently come out and speak to the military, not just the military, but to senior officers and senior leadership about what Al Jazeera is, what it isn't, and why it should be so important to them. I go out probably twice a month and do that.
When you go in, what's the one thing you try to get across?
What they think they know about Al Jazeera probably isn't true. I give them a hypothetical situation that's happened countless times in Iraq. There's a mosque in a village in Al Anbar province or somewhere, and the Marines armed patrol, and they go past the mosque, and the Marines take fire from someone from within the mosque. And according to rules of engagement, they can return fire, and they do return fire, and they generally do it with a massive destructive force, you know, shooting up the mosque and the thing's on fire, this kind of thing. Well, a reporter will show up on scene, an Arab reporter, a stringer, maybe an Al Jazeera reporter if they weren't kicked out of the country. They'll approach the Marines and want to get a statement about what's happened here. The Marine squad will say no comment. There's no way they're going to talk to a reporter, particularly an Arab reporter, and they will leave the area and go back to their base, their secure base that no one can get inside or reach them. From within the mosque or the community near the mosque or down the street will come somebody to that reporter who says, I saw it. They attacked the mosque. It was just innocents in there praying. They are attacking Islam. They will do this while they are crying. So the reporter has this great, emotionally powerful interview. He has footage of the mosque that is now on fire. Now, there's also evidence across the street of some bullet holes in the wall. Now, that reporter will try to go to that local base, often a palace or something, or call that squad to get a statement. No one there will help him. If he is Al Jazeera, no one will give him a statement. And as a matter of fact, they'll probably treat him, you know, with this kind of condescending attitude. Now it's left to that reporter to make deadline with his story. Is he going to include the part about the holes in the wall opposite the mosque? He won't if he's so frustrated with the military. But the story will go out nonetheless with the mosque on fire, with the interview with the guy crying, saying that they're attacking the mosque. And this will air to, you know, 35 to 55 million Arabs across the region and might incite some to go and defend Islam. It could be a really simple thing. Instead of saying no comment, if you're the guy on the ground, say, here are the holes in the wall behind us. According to our rules of engagement, we have to defend ourselves. We think it's insulting that they're using the mosque in this way and that they have these weapons we found in the mosque. And for more information, here's a public affairs officer you could call in Baghdad that'll help you out. And you could get the right story out there. And I think there could be a real difference in the end of that story. So I often share that hypothetical story with generals, and I've actually had it click with a few.
That's Josh Rushing. He's now a correspondent for Al Jazeera International. His book is called Mission Al Jazeera.